From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 87, the episode where we don't talk about Soylent because there's just too much news.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey guys, we love hearing your suggestions
we
on
do.
Reddit. About what we should talk about on the show, go to reddit.com/r/deemable to vote for which stories you think we should talk about each week. And you can also submit some stories of your own. We actually have a couple stories from Redditors on the show today.
Just one. Don't
ever stop. Oh, okay. We just have one,
just one.
Story from a Redditor.
We appreciate that guy. We don't appreciate the rest of you.
Thank you.
Or girl. We don't know. Or,
yeah, that's true. And hey, if you do like this show, why don't you tell other people about it? Go to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate it. It really helps. But first, let's get right into the big stories in the tech world for this week. Here is this week's rundown. All right, well, first things first, let's explain that episode title. I think we mentioned last week that I was getting Soylent. Did we talk about that on the show?
I think we did.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
And we said that we were going to talk about this week and
give
it a review.
Did you get the Soylent?
I have the Soylent. I have it right here. I am sipping it.
Ugh.
Right then. And I'm not going to tell you a darn thing about it because we have so much news to cover that there's no way we can fit it into this week's episode.
It's really been a busy week.
And so let's jump right into it. There was this big thing. Did you guys hear about it? WWDC, Worldwide Developers Conference, Apple's big shindig for the year. And so, of course, we got to talk about it. If you want to know about everything that was announced at the WWDC keynote, check out iMore's article, appropriately titled Everything You Need to Know About the WWDC 2015 Keynote.
There you go.
We're just going to talk about the stuff that we liked and the stuff we hated. So, first off, iOS 9. Do we really have to tell you that they announced iOS 9? I mean, you guys know iOS 9 would be announced at WWDC, right? I mean, this isn't your first rodeo.
They had a rodeo?
They did have a rodeo.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the most exciting part. No. So, iOS 9 is going to have ad blocking for the first time ever. Now, specifically, Safari is going to allow extensions that include the ability to block ads. And publishers that depend on ad revenue to stay in business are super excited about this announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm actually super excited because I am jealous of that you can do that on Android and I can't. And I would like to block ads.
I mean, ad blocking on the phone browser, though, like, I don't really use that. It's not a big problem on the phone browser.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before on Ask Deemable Tech, that, you know, ads on your mobile device can really run down your data plan.
But that's more like, you know, they're popping up in the app. You know, you're playing a game.
Oh, sure.
It's got the little pop-up app. Now, if they're blocking that, that's interesting.
Yeah. I doubt that they're going to block iAds, the in-app ads, because Apple makes money off of that. They're making a lot of people really happy.
Or really mad.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. Sorry.
Okay, so in an effort to make their devices harder to break into, Apple also revealed this week that newer iPhones and iPads that have the Touch ID and ones that are also running iOS 9 will be required to upgrade from a 4-digit passcode to a 6-digit one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Passcodes will remain optional, so you don't have to have one. But if you choose to use one, you will have to change it to at least 6 alphanumeric digits.
Yeah, it's slightly more secure.
Yeah, that's sure. Their whole thing. They just want to make it harder for people to, you know, crack into your phone. Another safeguard that they introduced to go along with this is that after 10 failed attempts to enter your passcode, your device will just erase itself.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I missed that announcement. Wow. That's stupid. I mean, let's just call it what it is. That's stupid.
I mean, I could see
this. Is
that
a switch? Can you turn that off?
Yeah, I could see this where maybe you have a young child who's
That's exactly what
phone.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
My son locks my wife's phone all the time.
Oh.
Now, I would say it's okay if it gives you, like, a lot of time in between. Like, for instance, if it's, it blocks it for 5 minutes and then 30 minutes and then an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would give my wife enough time to say, oh, Zach locked up the phone again.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be able to prevent it from erasing. But, oh, my gosh, that's terrible.
Just, yeah. Ugh. I hope they implement that really intelligently.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what goes on with that.
Yeah, there's another example that I thought of was, you know, say you have a loved one who passed away and you're trying to get into their iPhone for some reason. You don't know what their passcode is.
Yeah.
After 10 attempts, it's just gone.
That's terrible. Yeah, I mean, again, another, you know, harsh reminder to make plans for your digital assets before you pass.
Yeah.
Make sure you have your password stored somewhere securely that people can get to them after you die, if you want them to have access to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you don't want them to have access to your iPhone after you die. That's between you and them. But, yeah, ooh, that's... I hope you're right, Tom. I hope they do implement this well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in slightly more exciting news, Apple Swift. Have you guys ever heard of that before? It's the programming language,
yeah.
It came out recently, about a year or two ago, where it's a lot easier to use. Apple is going to open source it. So for the first time ever, developers will be able to create apps for iOS and OS X on a computer that isn't running Mac OS X.
Cool.
Now, don't get too excited, Windows developers. It still will only run on Linux.
Well, then
it's not really open source. It's just...
It's still open source. It just won't run on Windows.
Well, then if it's open source, somebody can build a thing that'll run it on Windows.
That's true. Yeah. But the build that Apple is putting out won't run on Windows.
Okay. So.
All right.
Yeah. iOS 9 will also introduce a long-expected feature for iPads.
Ooh.
Multitasking.
It already has multitasking.
Well, in a different way.
Okay.
You know, the Windows tablet that came out a few years ago, you know, they made a big deal about how you could have two apps running at the same time and split up your screen
mm-hmm.
so
ooh,
you could
gotcha.
Run them independently. That will be sort of coming to the iPad now. This comes in the form of three features called Slide Over, Split View, and Picture in Picture. Yes. Slide Over will let you quickly slide in another app from a menu on the right side of your screen. So, for example, the one that they had at WWDC that they showed this with, they had Safari running.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could slide in from the right side the Messages app.
Mm.
So you could be looking up, restaurant reviews on Safari, quickly slide in. Messages, send your friend a message about, you know, the restaurant you're going to. Or there are other apps. They have to take advantage of this feature for it to work. It's not going to be like every single app you can slide in.
Oh, gotcha.
Some of the other ones that they showed that are already on iOS included the calendar app and notes.
Okay.
So that's one thing. There will also be a more traditional split view mode, which will allow you to equally divide up your screen between two apps that are running simultaneously and independent of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have Safari up and then, I don't know what else, a game or something like that.
Sure.
And you could be running the game on one side of your iPad and then Safari on the other.
Okay.
And it was interesting. They showed that you could actually use four fingers and scroll one while you're scrolling the other one.
Because you want to do that.
I don't know why you would want to do that.
I love it that you were, for our listeners, you were using
Vulcan,
this one hand.
Yes.
You were doing a Live Long and Prosper.
It was a Vulcan.
When it was probably just easier to use two hands with two separate fingers.
I think it doesn't
allow that. You have to use one hand.
Well, no, I can't remember who was doing the demonstration, but I think he was using one hand to do it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm imitating him.
So if you can't make the Live Long and Prosper sign, you're really screwed.
Well, no, you can do it with the other hand if you want. And the third one is Picture in Picture. This will let you have a small video player on top of other apps. So finally, Apple has added a feature that all of our TVs had in 1993. They showed it off by having the ESPN app running over the settings app, so you can be watching ESPN.
It should have been a spreadsheet with
ESPN. Exactly. But you can also...
I really want to catch this game, but I'm too busy tweaking my settings.
I need to go in and change the settings for my ESPN app while I'm running it.
That is really great because it's annoying on the iPad when you're trying to watch a video and you're trying to do something else because you can't. There's nothing you can do.
That's true, yeah.
You can't even leave like a music video running while you're doing something else.
Exactly.
Which we do on the desktop all the time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I made fun of it, but it actually is a cool feature. And you can move it around your screen as well. So you can tap that little window and, you know, move it to the top left corner.
I mean, I enjoyed that feature on my Samsung Galaxy.
Exactly.
S3, 2 years ago. Three years ago.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think it was Ars Technica made a point of listing all of the features that are in iOS 9 that are already on Android. But, you know.
But in fairness, at this point, they're just stealing from each other. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Now, not all of these features will be available on all devices. Hmm. The split view mode will only work on the iPad 2 Air.
Oh.
The other two, the slide over and the picture-in-picture, will be available on other devices, such as the late 2013 or newer iPad Airs or all iPad Minis.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Cool. Well, the news from Apple that probably affects me the most and the one that I was the most excited about was Apple News. Now, yes, that last sentence sounded repetitively redundant, but it is true. Apple News is Apple's latest attempt to disrupt another dying industry.
Oh, God, they needed it.
This new app will be built into iOS 9, but fortunately, it will replace the utterly useless hunk of trash app that was Newsstand. If you don't remember Newsstand, it's because you probably buried it in a folder that you would never see it. Instead of being what was essentially a folder for news and magazine apps, Apple News is going to be a news curator app. So you'll be able to read articles from Sports Illustrated, The New York Times, Wired, and a ton of other top-tier media sites, and some other not-so-top-tier media sites like local newspapers, TVs, radio stations, and even bloggers.
Oh.
So they're really opening it up, which is kind of cool because compared to like Snapchat's recent offering, it wasn't that amazing. And even Facebook is offering embedded media, and there's no way to get in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to Apple, the new app learns what you like and suggests similar content, and I'll believe that when I see it. You know, the promise of learning content has always been way higher than the actual end product.
Mm-hmm.
Apple News is going to have a lot of interactive features like charts and graphs and videos and photos that content creators can use. So it's basically just like Flipboard, except it's built into your iPhone. So it's going to destroy Flipboard. And if you don't know what Flipboard is, it's basically everything I just said Apple News is going to be. So if you've never used it before. Full disclosure, D-Mobile Tech and WJCT are both going to be working to be included on Apple News. And by WJCT and D-Mobile Tech, I mean me.
Yeah.
So, as a digital content editor here, I'll be working on getting us on that platform. So you'll be able to subscribe or follow or like or whatever the vernacular will be on Apple News to follow us. And we're on Flipboard, too. Well, WJCT is. D-Mobile isn't.
Yeah, that's
true. We don't have a Flipboard magazine.
I want to thank you in advance, Ray, for working on all of that.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you.
Now, Apple also says that iOS 9 is all about making the existing hardware run better.
Mm.
They said that they have seen an extra hour of battery life on the iPhone 6, and iOS 9 has a new lower power mode that can save iPhones an additional 3 hours of battery life.
Wow.
I'm really excited about this because usually when a new operating system comes out, no matter what it is, whether it's iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever, it always and there goes the energy.
Yeah,
everything drops.
Yeah.
But they're saying they're getting really great performance out of this, and that's really what they were focused on. iOS 9 is not that big of a change visually or even performance-wise. It doesn't do a lot of new things.
Yeah.
It just has a few really key things that change. But performance, heck yeah, that's cool. I'm excited about that.
And they also said that downloading iOS 9 will not be as bad as iOS 8. iOS 8 was like 4 gigs.
It was
or
a
whatever.
Disaster.
It took forever to download and install.
Mm-hmm.
I think they said iOS 9 is like just over 1 gig.
Oh, not
so
bad.
So it shouldn't be too bad.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 gigs, but to install it, you had to have 5 gigs available.
And you had to be like plugged in and everything.
It was crazy.
You had to be well rested and you have to stretch a bit first.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
All right, and the big story, Apple's one more thing this year was Apple Music. So Apple basically took Beats Music. You remember they bought Beats last year. Ping, you guys remember Ping,
right? Oh, I
loved
Ping.
I do not remember Ping.
Ping was the Facebook, quote unquote, that was built into iTunes.
Yeah. So they took Ping and the basically the new MySpace. You guys remember MySpace, right?
Oh, Tom, how's he doing?
So they took all of them and stuck them in a BlendTech blender and poured out what was left and called it Apple Music.
Oh.
With Apple Music, you can listen to listen for free to a 24-hour online radio stream called Beats One. They kind of got rid of the Beats name, but like left it in there under Beats One, the radio station, which is going to be DJed out of London, New York, and Los Angeles with like a real DJ picking tracks and voicing intros and outros and stuff. Or you can listen to streaming music on demand for $9.99 a month for a single membership, or only $14.99 for a family of up to six, which that was actually kind of impressive. And they'll give you a free 3-month trial membership to get you hooked, too. Because, you know, that's how they roll. They can afford to give everybody 3 months free because they want to. Oh, yeah. Basically, they're creating a Spotify killer. plus, it's built into the iPhone, so it definitely will be a lot more people getting hooked on it. And if you're on Android, Tom, you can get it, too.
Oh,
you can have Apple Music. Huh. Yay. and, you know, and that's fine, but the weird part is that Apple thinks apparently that you don't have enough social media accounts in your life and you need one dedicated to communicating with your favorite artists.
No.
You know, just like they thought when they came out with Ping and it flopped. And just like Justin Timberlake and the gang thought when they bought MySpace from News Corp and relaunched it as a social media site for musicians. And, well, I don't know what happened to it because I've never been back for long enough then to just download my pictures and videos, but I've heard it's a barren wasteland. Have you guys been on the new MySpace?
Nope.
No, not whatsoever.
Yeah, I went on there one time. I'm like, where is my stuff? I just want to get it off of here. but yes, on Apple Music, you'll be able to get exclusive content like behind-the-scenes videos, intimate conversations with the artist. They showed like an artist like basically doing a vlog, talking to their fans. And musicians can post blogs and updates on Apple Music, you know, just like they can do on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, Tumblr, and, oh yeah, their own freaking website. that part is really, why are they doing this again?
I don't know.
They tried to sell it as if, oh, you know, social media, like you have to go to all these different places to find and communicate with your favorite artists. I'm like, but we know where they are.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's not a big deal, guys.
We're okay.
It's just the internet.
You know, and it's okay. And I like apps that are simple. And that's what I felt like Apple was really pushing towards, is apps that were simple and did one thing really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's annoying that this Apple Music app is going to also have the social media element.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about the whole Spotify killer thing. Like, the thing is, you don't just have to kill Spotify. You've got to kill Pandora.
Yeah.
And you've got to kill...
RDO.
What's that new one that those guys just announced? Tidal.
Tidal, right.
The artist run.
Like, it's a big...
Jay-Z one.
Yeah, and Google has their own already, which I don't know if it's been crazy, but they do have one. It's just a really saturated space, you know? And it's like, it's nice that it'll be pre-installed on all your iPhones, but...
Sure.
That's a hard... that's going to be a hard space to dominate, I think.
Well, I think they're making a smart move by doing the 3-month trial. I mean, because that is going to get a lot of people hooked. If it's anything like they've done with the launch of the Apple Watch, I'm sure it's going to be in your face constantly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you don't have an iPhone, but it is. They put in an app that's the Apple Watch app on my iPhone.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thanks. And also, every time I go to the iTunes or the App Store, there's an ad for the Apple Watch. Oh, check out these apps that work with the Apple Watch. So I'm sure that Apple Music is going to be similar to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be constantly pimping the 3-month trial membership. And I will say, though, the $14.99 for a family of up to six, that is actually a really good deal compared to Spotify.
Sure.
Where you can easily get up to $25 for a big family.
Mm-hmm.
The Beats One, that will continue to be free. For Android and Apple users, but all you get is, you know, that one channel.
It's a radio station.
Yeah, it's a radio station, which I was just reading analytics about. Online streaming audio is going down, so people want the on-demand.
Now, speaking as someone who does not stream music,
oh,
I honestly don't care about this or any of these apps. I never find myself, well, there is one occasion where I do stream music.
Okay.
It's when I'm on the elliptical.
Oh.
And I got my my 90s dance miss going. This is entirely true. Just pumping it out, you know what I mean?
Totally. I see that.
You know, the rest of the time, like, I like buying music. I enjoy having a collection of music that I can listen to at any time, regardless if I have an internet connection or not. But maybe,
I'm with you, man, but apparently we're old school freaks.
Well, I mean, both of you, or you don't stream either, do you, Tom?
Not in the sense of what we're talking about here.
Yeah. I'm probably the only one that does, and both of you are more music aficionados than I am. I am basic. I like Top 40, and I get an idea in my head, and I want to hear music from that genre.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
When I stream, like, I'll go, and I don't do it very much anymore, is I would go to Pandora, because I'd be like, you know, I want to hear more music like this one song. Like, I just want to hear, like, a bunch of, like, really good rock songs right now that I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Actually, but it turns out Pandora is not that great at that. Like, you'd think it would be. It's supposed to be.
Right.
But it'll play, like, the five songs you already expected, and then a bunch of crap.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
As I said before, learning apps all stink. I'm interested in how this will go, because if they go mainstream, I think that's where you have to target. You have to target the mainstream audience, because audiophiles are not going to like this. You know, like, why would they be interested in this? Because the audio quality is going to suck. So it really, the only thing you can get is those mainstream listeners who just want to have.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't into streaming, so I guess, you know, they're hoping they can convert them. You know, if you can convert mom and dad into their $10 or $16 a month.
Sure. Thing.
What impact do you think this is going to have? You know, it always seems like Apple is the big name and everything. Once they do something, you know, that becomes standard.
It becomes real.
Well, you know, they were the ones that made the MP3 player work, so maybe they're the ones that make streaming work.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they have the relationships with the record labels to make it possible.
Yeah.
More than anybody else. I mean, that's been the biggest thing that Spotify has been fighting with, trying to get, like, I remember there was a thing with Taylor Swift, you know, where she didn't release an album on Spotify. They got the money to pressure record labels and artists to join them and work with them. Because if every single person that has an iPhone could listen to your music and it's already on their phone, it's a lot more likely that they're going to, which means they're going to have a lot more market power than somebody like Spotify, who's a startup and they're just trying to get it going.
Okay, well, Apple wasn't the only big player to hold an event this week.
You lie.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I do not.
Somebody else had another announcement during the week of WWDC?
Yeah, they did.
Were they trying to bury something? That's usually what you do.
No.
Like, if you've done something terrible,
these guys,
announce it during WWDC.
These guys are up-and-comers, but they are important.
Right.
Oculus Rift held a live event this week. They officially unveiled the consumer version of their long-awaited and greatly hyped VR headset, virtual reality. So this is, you know, they've had several versions out there. They had a developer version. They've had kind of some interim prototypes. But this is the first time they've said, look, this is what we're probably going to be selling probably in 2016.
Yep.
So purportedly, people didn't really get a chance to try it out themselves. But it's supposed to be light and comfortable. The headset slips on sort of like a baseball cap. It's easily adjustable with kind of a knob on the side. It allows the user to substitute your own headphones. It comes with a pair of headphones built into it.
Yeah.
But you can actually take that out and put in your own favorite pair of headphones.
That's good. I like that.
The screen's actually, it looks like there's a little pair of sunglasses embedded inside. There's actually two screens that sit in front of your eyes. They're high-res LED screens.
Cool.
They actually announced, people were talking about what's the control scheme for this thing. They've announced two controllers. The one that it will ship with is actually literally an Xbox One wireless controller. They partnered with Xbox. They're going to put an Xbox One wireless controller in the
box. Well, that makes sense, because Oculus was bought by Facebook, and Facebook and Microsoft have kind of been friends.
Now, a slightly more revolutionary controller called the Oculus Touch has also been announced. And this is hard to describe on the radio, but it's... Maybe think of that the Wii nunchuck almost.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you got one in each hand. It's got a thumbstick. It's got some buttons, but it also can sense the motion of your hand, and it's got haptic feedback, and it actually has kind of like this band that goes around your wrist. So I guess you could be punching or whatever you're doing in the game, and it would sense that motion and sense the punches and where they're going and whatever. It's interesting looking. I have no idea how it will play in real life.
The way that it looks from the pictures, it looks like kind of older over-the-ear headphones that you would buy.
That is really interesting. It's like a band or something.
So the Oculus Touch is going to release theoretically next year, but it's not expected to be available when the Oculus Rift first launches.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of launching, you're probably wondering when exactly the Rift is launching and how much it'll cost. They didn't really get around to mentioning that at this press conference.
Of course not.
The company still says it's targeting 2016, and there's still rumors of a price point around $400, but they haven't been more specific.
Explain to me why a company comes to a press conference without knowing the price point, without knowing when they're launching it. And to make it worse, they do it during the week of WWDC.
I don't know. It
doesn't make any sense at all.
It's a little strange. Now, they are getting pressed for this. Like, WWDC did not bury them. People showed up for their thing.
Or unless maybe that, like going back to what I said, they were trying to bury it.
No, they got the attention of the tech world. Oculus can sneeze, and the tech world will pay attention.
Yeah, it's probably also a slightly different audience.
It's true. It's just annoying to me when a company does that. I'm like, you have to know when it's launching. You have to know how much it is. I mean, even Apple got ripped to shreds when they, the Apple Watch was coming out. How much? We'll tell you then. No, don't do that. That's just annoying.
Yeah, it's strange. E3 is coming up later in the summer, and there's speculation that maybe they'll have some hard numbers then.
Mm. How about just wait until then and announce it then?
Whatever. That's the perfect way to transition into this next story. So I have a story about Comcast.
This will be fun.
Everybody's favorite company.
The
cable internet provider is infamous for their poor customer service.
Oh, yeah.
And this next story is not going to help their reputation any. Ken Amaro of our local First Coast News reports that Comcast took 13-year veteran customer Kathleen Cox's email address away and gave it to another customer with the same name who had just signed up in Michigan.
There can only be one.
Kathleen had used her Comcast email address as her primary email account, and when it was taken away, she lost access to all of her emails. She said that it wasn't until local news touched up the story that Comcast finally returned the address to her. No word on whether she got her old emails back as well.
And what about the Michigan Kathleen Cox?
What happened to her email address?
Wow. Well, that's a great get for a Ken Amaro over at First Coast News.
Yeah.
We saw this article on Ars Technica, right? Where they talk about it? Getting some exposure there. That's kind of great. But I always hate to see when it's because someone did something stupid.
Yeah.
A lot of people, and we've talked about this, I think, on Ask Deanable Tech, or at least the Deanable Tech radio special last year. Don't use Comcast email.
No, just
don't.
Don't use one that's provided by your internet provider.
Because it's attached to that account.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I just had a client of mine who had a Verizon email account. Is no longer with Verizon. No disparity against Verizon on this situation. But, her Apple account was tied to her Verizon email. She had no idea what her password was. So we literally were like, well, crap.
Yeah.
Because you can't get your password reset because it's going to send it to Verizon. Verizon's deleted your account. So where do we go? We ended up calling Apple finally and getting it worked out. But, oh my gosh, it was
a pain. It's not like a phone number. You do not have any right to take the email address with you.
Hmm.
But if you use a free service like Yahoo Mail or Gmail or Outlook.com, a service like that, it goes with you no matter where you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about that.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's perfectly good. Mm-hmm. In fact, arguably Gmail and Yahoo are far superior to Comcast.
I wouldn't even argue it. I would emphatically state it as a fact.
Yeah.
I have dealt with Comcast email and it is horrible. Use any other one out there. Well, Google says that their next version of Chrome will roll out a feature that intelligently pauses Flash content that isn't central to the web page. This is interest of memory and battery life for laptops. By some estimates, disabling Flash while using Chrome on your laptop could give you 10 to 20% more battery life.
Wow.
So that's exciting.
That's a lot.
That'll make your battery life last a little bit longer on Chrome.
So if there's a little tiny annoying autoplay ad way down the page...
Yeah,
that
hopefully.
Won't that play?
Hopefully it won't play.
That'd be delightful. Yeah.
Or if you go to those clickbait sites and the ad won't start playing over in the corner where you can't find it and you have idea what's making that happen.
I mean, it's great that Chrome gives you a little speaker, but sometimes it's still like a hunt. It's
yeah,
I know it's on this tab, but...
The worst part is when you're actually trying to listen to something else.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just mute your laptop because you're trying to listen to the other thing. And I am a victim. I click on a lot of clickbait articles. 20 people you didn't know were blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, I have to click that.
I must know.
I must know what those 20 people are. And it's always never the one in the image.
No.
You know, the sample image. She's not that one. I hate you, stupid clickbait answers.com. Just the first one that came to mind.
Okay. Well, I have to say as a disclaimer that our next story was submitted by Reddit user Frackenbeast or Frakenbeast. I'm not sure how I pronounce that.
It's Fracken.
Fracken.
Frackenbeast.
So we have to cover it. We legally have to cover it.
I don't think it's required, but...
Major porn site Pornhub
launched
a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo to raise money to shoot a sex tape in space.
What?
And we're fired. It's going to happen.
The campaign is looking to raise $3.4 million in funding, which takes into account chartering the flight, insurance, crew, equipment, as well as backer perks, which I will leave to your imagination.
Okay.
Pornhub has not specified who exactly they plan to fly with or the exact date they plan to film on. They do, however, have the actors picked out.
Hi, Karen, our boss. This will be the first episode she listens to.
Yeah, exactly. This is, wow. There's not much I can really say about this.
It's very ambitious for porn.
It is very ambitious, yeah.
I applaud that.
Interesting.
So, I don't know what to say about this. The title of the program is called Sexploration, the Pornhub sex program. And it's raised, as of right now, $16,000.
That's pretty good.
By 833 people.
They got a ways to go, though.
Oh, yeah, they got a pretty ways to go.
I think, you know, they don't specify who they're flying with, and I feel like that's a major omission, because is it going to be the Spaceship One people? I mean, you got to get a very large company to sign on to this. Is it going to be like, I feel like NASA's not going to back this.
No, I don't think so. My question is, why now? Why not wait a little while before, you know...
You got to be the first mover.
You know, I will say...
You don't want the other porn companies to get in.
Listen, I will say...
I don't think that'll happen.
That porn has been innovators in technology from day one.
That is actually true, yeah.
Right after the Bible was published on the Gutenberg, it was, you know, erotic literature.
Mm.
You know, as soon as the internet came out, we were trying to put nudie pics on it, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As soon as video came out, well, there you go.
Yep.
So, you know, I'll say, you know, the space industry has kind of hit a lull, you know, and they want to help promote and innovate the space industry. And how better to do that than with porn?
This is two episodes in a row where we've had questionable content on here.
I'll also say, hi, honey. I'm sure this is the first episode my wife will listen
exactly.
to.
So, just a message to people that are joining us for the first time. Normally, we don't discuss this type of stuff, but I can't guarantee that we won't.
Yeah,
it's the user submitted.
User submitted.
Yep. I wish them luck, I guess.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. Either way,
you know, you ask. Of course, it is important what company they end up going with to produce this. But honestly, if they can raise $3.4 million, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
You know, they will find somebody to get them into space.
All right.
And it is a fixed funding account or fixed funding.
So whatever they raise, they keep.
They have to hit 3.4 or they don't get it.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not flexible.
Wow.
Flexible funding, it's fixed.
Okay.
So I kind of appreciate that, because then, like, if they don't get $3.4 million, they're not going to space.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to, so it would have been wrong to do it.
Well, they're honest explorers.
Yep. Well, back to a topic of conversation that's a little bit more of our normal realm. Here's a story that we apparently looked over back in March that recently came to our attention. You can send your friends on Facebook money through Facebook Messenger.
What?
Yeah, if you have a debit card on file with Facebook.
Why would you have a debit card?
Well, perhaps you bought an ad. Which I've done. I bought an ad, I think, for Deemable one time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've bought like a dumb game or something, you may have put a debit card on file. It will not work with credit cards for some reason, only debit cards. I don't know why. But when you message someone on the Facebook Messenger, on either the app or on the desktop website, you will see a dollar sign with a circle around it. I just happened to notice that today. If you click on that button, you can send your friends money.
Oh.
It doesn't cost anything, at least right now, to send or receive money via Facebook Messenger. Fortunately, you can set a PIN code for payments so that if you accidentally leave your Facebook profile logged in on a computer and your friend or girlfriend hacks you, he or she won't be able to transfer all of your money into a different account their account. Yeah.
So does your friend also have to have a debit card on file with Facebook?
To get the money, they do.
Yes.
Actually, I owed Sean about $20, so I went on Facebook. I was like, ooh, let me try it. I clicked it, sent it, and he got a message that said, what did it say?
It said, Ray has sent you $18, and that I had to set up I had to enter my debit card information to get it, which is very similar to how the Square Cash
yep.
thing works. That's Ray has sent me money several times before using that, and all you do is you put in your debit card information, and it just puts the money onto your debit card.
We're approaching a situation where there will be no social media system where you can't send money somehow. Yeah. Like Twitter, sure. Facebook, why not? You know, Instagram. Sure. Take a picture of the money and it goes to your friend.
Well, that would be redundant, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, or take a picture of a note. Ooh, like an old check. You know, in the old days, you didn't actually, a check could literally be on a piece of paper, pay to the order of blank this much.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad actually used to get a check on his napkin at a diner. He'd meet his boss at the diner, and the boss would write on the napkin, hand it to him.
Really?
He'd go down to the bank and cash it.
Interesting.
Yep. That was back before fraud.
No.
Before they invented fraud.
But so I think this is kind of cool. It's, you know, certainly another opportunity for hackers to get in and take advantage of your account. But those are everywhere, so, you know, yeah, it can happen at the ATM machine or at the gas pump. So
I will say that I've already spent that $18 on Farmville.
Oh, yeah.
Just put it right in there.
Right. Invested it right into your farm.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad to know that my money was well spent.
Yeah, exactly.
It was your money because I owed it to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Reddit, which, of course, bills itself as the front page of the internet and is where we post the news stories we're working on for each week's podcast, saw some major drama this week.
Ooh.
Reddit has long had a policy of allowing people to create subreddits, which are kind of their little forums, around virtually any topic they want, even when those topics are kind of awful.
Mm-hmm.
There are
like Deemable. Awful. Well, an awful subreddit.
There are subreddits devoted to racism, bigotry, and pretty much any kind of vile stuff you could think of, and some you probably hopefully wouldn't.
All right, that's a little worse than Deemable.
I would say
okay. A lot worse.
And the thing is, Reddit actually leaves these subreddits alone unless they start crossing certain lines. And this week, apparently, some lines were crossed. Reddit banned 5 subreddits, the largest of which was one called Fat People Hate. That's all one word, which boasted over 150,000 subscribers. And at the risk of editorializing, Fat People Hate was actually even worse than it sounds. Redditors over there tended to link to Twitter feeds and YouTube channels and personal information of real people, and then other Redditors would come in on their channels and just pour abuse and bile and mockery on them. So, and it was also a really popular Reddit, and they would regularly vote their threads to the top of Reddit's /r/all, which is sort of the front page of Reddit, which is the internet's front page. So
right.
You'd see this mockery kind of like getting pushed and promoted up.
Mm. Man.
So basically Reddit said that, you know, Fat People Hate and 4 other subreddits, which were not... I honestly don't want to say their names. They're all sort of ethnic slurs. crossed the line. They were much smaller, though. Crossed the line by getting involved in harassment instead of just being about ideas. And this did not go down well with a very vocal part of Reddit's user base, who began creating a flood of alternate subreddits like Fat People Hate Too and Fatter People Hate, and filling up unrelated subreddits with angry posts about Reddit CEO Ellen Pao. And this is actually not the first time Reddit has had problems moderating its own users. There was a similar outrage when it tried to crack down on users posting images from the nude celebrity leaks last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And before that, when it attempted to purge subreddits dedicated to creep shots, which is where men shared sexualized pictures taken of women without their consent.
Jesus.
Yeah. The problem for Reddit is that it doesn't even require an email address to sign up for the service. And creating a new subreddit is pretty much the work of about 2 seconds. And so you have a situation that's just extremely difficult to moderate.
Man. Reddit is the best of humanity and the absolute worst of humanity. All in one big blender.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing it back to the blender reference.
Thanks for bringing that back around.
Just wanted to, yeah. It's all about blenders this episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, blenders of Soylent, blenders of Apple Music, and now blenders of Reddit.
Mm.
But yeah, this is sad.
It is. It just makes me sad that people are like so dedicated to hating.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't get that. Like,
and the problem is they're going to go anywhere they can, but the Reddit environment is fertile ground for them to grow and become a massive thing. So yeah, I'm really glad that they are striking all this down. They're working to fight it. But there's a lot more people, Redditors out there than there are staff. And it's going to be hard to keep that at bay.
I think the question for Reddit is, you know, as they move towards sort of
Legitimacy.
Yeah. Like, what do they do with this stuff? Because it looks really ugly as you're trying to attract, presumably, investors and advertisers and things like that.
Sure.
You just don't want an investor or an advertiser doesn't want to invest in a website where they might come and see, like, somebody making fun of fat people or making fun of, you know, people of a different skin color or sexuality on the front page of the website.
Yeah.
You know, that's a problem.
I haven't looked into this, and I don't know if you have, but is Reddit trying to get investors or?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are. That's one of the reasons they brought in Ellen Pao as an interim CEO, is because they're kind of doing rounds of fundraising and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was curious. Condé Nast apparently acquired them in 2006. So who are they owned by now?
Oh, I guess Condé Nast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I kind of see them.
They have a huge user base. Like, in theory, if they can monetize it.
Oh, sure. Well, I kind of see them like I see Craigslist, though. Like, they don't want to get better. Mm-hmm. But they did just do a great update to their mobile site. It's a lot better on mobile now. It used to be terrible. But their mobile site is actually pretty strong. Oh, yeah, there was a fundraising in October of 2014. $50 million in a funding round led by Sam Altman, Mark Andreessen, Peter Thiel, Ron Conway, Snoop Dogg, and Jared Leto. All right.
Okay.
This is our new podcast, Ray Reads Wikipedia.
Oh, don't out me like that, man. I wanted to sound intelligent. But yeah, I did just read that from Wikipedia. So hope it's true.
There's no shame in that, I don't think.
They referenced another site, so apparently it is VentureBeat. Yes.
Gotcha.
All right, yeah, so according to VentureBeat, that's what happened back in 2014.
Okay.
Yep. I always think of, like I said, though, I always feel like Reddit and Craigslist are on the same level. Like, Craigslist doesn't care. Mm-hmm. They want to be crappy.
Yeah.
They want it to be as simple as possible. But Reddit, I think, is trying to improve and get better and offer a better service.
Mm.
And the mobile website is really nice now.
Unfortunately for Reddit, it seems like their users don't necessarily agree, or at least some of them. I'm sure I'm not speaking for the entire Reddit user base.
Yeah.
Well, you know, trolls want a bridge to live under. That's what they want. And
I guess
if you kick them out from under the bridge, they get angry.
I mean, it's hard because we say, hey, guys, go sign up for Reddit. And then, you know, you see stuff like this and you're like, well, maybe not.
Well, actually, just to have a conversation that the three of us can have and invite our listeners to join in on, I have been thinking about that. You know, we have a lot of our listeners are on Facebook. Maybe we could do like a Facebook group instead or on top of.
Yeah.
Just to bring the community in to have more conversation. Do you guys think that'd be cool? I think that'd be cool.
I'm okay with that. Be interested to hear from some of our listeners in any form you care to chime in.
Right now, we have the Facebook page, facebook.com/deemable.
We should put up a post and be like, hey, what do you guys like?
Yeah. you know, we can do that. We can have a Facebook group, and that way people can join in and start the conversation, not just, you know, hear from us. We talk. We like the sound of our own voice, but we like the sound of your voices, too. So. And speaking of that, that's really all the news we have for today.
Yeah, to be fair, that was a lot. So,
and there was more news. I mean, oh my gosh, there was a story about how Rue McClanahan is apparently trending all over the internet, even though she died 5 years ago.
That's strange.
That's pretty much the whole story.
Okay.
There's really nothing other than that.
The weird wrinkle to it, though, is that this has happened every year for the past several years, where she just... the news of her death starts trending
the
again.
There is an article, I think it's CBS, that they wrote, and it was like, Rue McClanahan dies this week, or something very vague in the headline.
Yeah.
And it did happen this week in June, five years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that's why. It's like people see that headline and then it gets going again. But it's kind of like the Back to the Future week. You know, which is actually coming up in October, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, we have to do an episode with that somehow themed Back to the Future.
Actually, that will be this year.
Yes.
This will finally be the year that Marty McFly goes back to the future.
Ever since, like, 2010, there's been it's Back to the Future Day. And I'm like, no, it's not. No.
2015.
Someone just Photoshopped that crap. October 12th?
I don't know.
If only we could look that up on Wikipedia. You know, let's not say we did. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And, you know, if you have comments or you want to tell us that we're stupid, you can email us at feedback@deemable.com, or you can call us and leave a voicemail. 1-888-972-9868, I think, is the number.
That is the number.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
Call and leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the air, probably. If you don't curse at us.
Yeah, depending on what you say in it.
Depending on the content. If you talk about Pornhub, maybe not.
Yeah, probably not.
But, all right, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.